Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, Real Talk, and an ambulance going by right as we start the show. But this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. Don't worry, they're not coming for me because I do P4P supplements. And this is the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And that's why the ambulance can go by, because we've got such good supplements. If you are a drug-free athlete and the ambulance is coming for you and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, not in an ambulance, but like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck do ice cream.
Yes, and we have ice cream sandwich supplement.
Protein. Yes, we do.
And now, let us talk it. Des, how you doing?
Yes, let us talk it. Woo, doing a little old English tonight. Welcome, everyone, to part two of the P4P Real Talk. Top 10 most listened to interviews of 2016. If you missed us on Tuesday, we unveiled numbers.
Shame on you.
10 through 6.
Shame on you if you missed us Tuesday.
I'm not going to shame you, but yeah, what he said. But yeah, so go to the archive, listen to that show, because then you'll be caught up to what we're talking about tonight. And that's why I'm not going to recap, because we are going to need all the time that we have to be able to make it through our top five. And on top of that, we have a special guest co-host with us this evening. That's right. Woo woo! That is Miss Melinda Spencer. Some of you may know her as Fit Talk with Melinda. She is the host of one of our sister P4P podcasts, and as I said, Fit Talk with Melinda. And in addition to that, she's also an NFBF bikini and figure pro. She's a fitness writer. She's a Spartan racer, a CrossFitter, power lifter. Just all around great gal. Melinda, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're hepped up. Can't you tell?
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I'm excited to recap with you. And thank you for giving me the idea of recapping in a different way by posting the shows on social media that hit my top five. I didn't even think of that. So that is something that I started doing today with my show, just because you guys started putting it out there, which was a great idea.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're glad that we could share the love across the P4P network. And not to leave him out of the loop, but there is another P4P podcast family member, and that's David the Hound Lidget. And he covers a lot of the extreme road races. And so his podcast, I can't even tell you what schedule that runs. But you know what? Go to the P4P Series Entertainment Facebook page. I don't think I even have the right name for that. But you'll get pretty close if you put in those words. And you'll find updates of P4P Real Talk, Fit Talk with Melinda, and The Hound, all there in one place. Who let the dogs out? Okay, we're done.
Okay,
there we go. All right. I digress. Pulling it back together. So tonight, starting with number five, and Kalen, I'm actually going to ask you to introduce this one. This one was, I have to say, it was a good show. What I found most comical about it is that I came into the show late, and then when I came on, I ended up asking all of the questions that Kalen had already asked at the beginning of the show when I wasn't on it. But evidently it worked, because the listeners voted it in as number five. So, Kalen, why don't you go ahead and set this one up for us?
Oh, yeah. This is, Joey P, he and I go way back to our old Gold's Gym days. So there was a lot that I knew about going into this show, and it was just a lot of fun. Because like I said, he, even though he never pushed me to get into bodybuilding, he always said that if he ever became a promoter, he hoped I never won. And I was thinking, wow, that's kind of weird to say, you know, because he said, well, it would look like politics if I didn't come in what he and I thought would be our my best look. And I had to agree with him, but, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was. So when he started doing this show, he basically wanted everybody and everything to come from the understanding, take care of the competitor. And what Leaf has on the professional side of a show and outlook, Joey B has from the amateur side, because he wanted everybody to be addressed and make it like family. So when I asked him to do the podcast, he was always kind of reluctant because he wanted to give his best. And he was always kind of nervous if that could happen without, you know, being able to speak with people seeing, you know, visualizing what he says, never understanding he could actually visualize with his wording and how he composed his words to actually project onto a listener. And I think it just worked so well to do, because he's got a lot of things that he wants to do in the future, and he actually got those out on that show. And it was a lot of fun because, you know, he's got a sense of humor that just – it's just funny, and I enjoy it.
So when Kalen says Joey P, he's talking about Joe Perez, and he is the promoter of the NABBA Chi-Town Showdown, which – when I first heard of that show, it was positioned to me as the show to make a name for yourself in Chicago. So if you're not familiar with NABBA, it's the National Amateur Bodybuilders Association. And as Kalen was saying, you know, natural. Okay.
Yes.
And natural. All right, thank you. And as he was saying, you know, Joe is one of those promoters that definitely wants to put the athlete first. And in fact, he's one of the things he said in that interview was, if you give all the athletes what they want, you can't lose. And I think athletes, we probably agree with that. And Melinda, I mean, you competed several years. How important is it to you when you walk into a show where a promoter is really focused on the athlete experience?
I think I'm going to keep this politically correct here. It's obviously very important because these competitors, no matter whether you're competing as an amateur or a pro, it is when you add up all of your costs, thousands of dollars to compete. So you really have to love what you do, and you're putting a lot of money and faith in the show that you're going to do, that it's going to be fair and that you're going to be treated well when you go there. It's probably the most important thing is to have the athletes as your top priority, because they're the ones that are going to spread the word, and it's either going to be negative or positive whether they enjoy the show, and that's eventually going to lead to, you know, a consistent growth in the industry or it flopping for that organization. So I would say it's the most important thing, and it's what would drive people to continue to compete at that specific show or in the organization, you know, year after year.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is what has driven a lot of people to compete at a show. I mean, even if they never compete at another NABBA show in their whole career, they like to come to Chicago and compete in the Chi-Town Showdown because of what Joe Perez does with his show. So definitely something to keep in mind. One of the things that cracked me up about that show is, so we always like to give our guests a chance to introduce themselves a little bit further than or more in depth of the introductions that we give. And so Kalen turns it over to Joe. He's like, all right, Joe, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? And so Joe says, well, I've listened to the show, meaning P4P Real Talk, you know, about 20 to 25 times. What do you want to talk about, Kalen? And that was his intro of himself. So you can definitely see he's all about not talking about himself, but talking about the matter at hand. And so,
yes, yes.
And he does give away some very awesome swords. I mean, and not, as he puts it, not swords you can buy at Walmart, but he takes a lot of time and effort and care to pick out unique swords for every show for overall winners. So, and I must say, I would very much like one of them. So, I guess I better get my buns and gear.
If I can add to that, there was the teen winner that won, and he did not understand because he had been to his uncle's and his cousin's shows where they had won replica swords. And, you know, they were doing all kinds of stuff backstage with the pictures and everything. And, you know, it was fun for them. But I was trying to explain to him that these weren't replicas. They were authentic. And I don't think he understood about the sharp point of that statement, and no pun intended, because he ended up, you know, cutting his finger, running his finger down the blade. You know, nothing to, you know, massive or, you know, a hemorrhage or nothing. But it was kind of embarrassing for him to have to get treated, and everybody's running to try to get this blood up off the floor because he just wasn't aware of just how authentic those blades were. So anyone listening, okay, here we go. We got one right now. Yes. Okay, this is for Tiffany. Tiffany, the Chi-Town Showdown is held in Bolingbrook, and they do have authentic swords for every overall winner. Yes, it is. Like they said, it's NABBA, and that's the only show. It is a NABBA natural. I will express, I will put expression on that because a lot of people don't. They confuse it with just NABBA, but Joe Perez is a natural athlete through and through. So he's also a natural promoter through and through. So yes, it's in Bolingbrook at the Bolingbrook High School, and it'll be May. I want to say 21st or 27th. Am I getting that right?
No, you're close. And, of course, I don't have that date in front of me right now. We just talked about this last week. I should know it, right?
Yes.
But we'll figure that out for you. And then we'll get back to it on the show.
Yeah, but these are authentic swords. They're not, I mean, they're very, we'll put a posted link to show some of the swords that, and, of course, he's a last year source. He changes from year to year. He tries to keep the show on the up and up. So, you know, thanks, Tiffany, for asking, and I hope we've answered it correctly. And like we said, we'll get the rest of the information soon.
Yes, we sure will. So, and hopefully yet within this show, if I can keep focused on what we're doing and do that at the same time. So, yeah, I'm already off kilter thinking about I need to find a date for this show instead of moving on. But I'm gonna get back on track, folks. You know how it goes. You've been listening to us long enough to know it's not easy for me to get distracted. Or it is easy for me to get distracted. That's all right, because you should not.
It's a bear all trap, right. And I ain't put my foot in it.
Oh, man. All right. We'll leave that one for another time. Number four is, you know, he's not in trouble yet, but it could happen before the show's over. But that's all right. We've got Melinda to run interference for us, so we're okay. So our number four spot is taken by a young lady that Kaylin likes to call the Queen Bee, and she has a very impressive competitive history in a very short amount of time. She competed in between 26 to 27 shows in a 4 to 5 year time period. So that spans being, you know, making her introduction into the competitive scene, to working through the amateur ranks, to gaining her pro card, to competing in pro shows, and then, you know, moving into the coaching realm of the whole part of that process. And when I say Queen Bee, I am talking about Miss Alex Ellis. Miss Alex Ellis, I'm having issues.
Miss Alexis? Is she
from Texas? Yes, all of that. All of that. So, Kaylin, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Alex?
Well, she, you know, with her competitions, she's basically seen the gamut of competing, you know, and this is like, you know, we're talking some years back, but she had been, you know, fourth place, she had been fifth place, she had been not placed, And, you know, she had gone through the gambit of emotions during that time, but she had a fighter spirit, and she did not get upset. She didn't, you know, didn't say, you know, I quit, you know, it's politics, I've been screwed. She said, all right, what works for what organization? And I'm telling you, that woman did her homework. She reminds me a lot of Angela Proyo, where she didn't give up. She said, all right, what is the criteria? And she started getting in depth in the different organizations and criteria that they were asking to be presented on stage. So, you know, the people that get her as a coach or as a nutritionist, she's basically doing her homework with them as well to make sure their show they want to compete in, they match up to as far as criteria. And I think that's the benefit of, like we were talking about with Melissa Johnson, where if they're working and you have coaches basically putting them in these shows to match the criteria, then the criteria has to go across the board, because that's the point of having criteria, so you match up. And Alex was just one of those people that was very competitive. And, you know, she spoke to us about the dark side of that on the podcast, because, you know, it had gotten to a point where it was becoming destructive. And thank God that she had the wherewithal, again, to be competitive enough to say, you know, there's a problem here. And she addressed that as well. And I really loved her openness. And it just speaks well of a person that doesn't just say, look at me when days are great. She was saying, you know, you can look at me when days are sucking and they're terrible, because I still have something to teach and I still have something to pass along. And that's a true joy for anybody, especially on a podcast, because with the name like Real Talk, that's pretty much people are tuning in to hear. And that was a blessing in itself.
Yes, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was actually one of the things that I remember about her interview. She said something along the lines of, you know, wherever the coach is at a given moment in their life is a direct reflection of where their athlete is going to be. And so she talked about, you know, just how, I won't say bad, but maybe ineffective she was at one point in coaching, because she was so disgruntled with all of the negativity she was seeing behind the scenes, or she felt that was going on behind the scenes in the competitive world of bodybuilding, and that was just coming through in her coaching as well. I mean, and in retrospect, she recognized that and talked about how that impacted just the way she was interacting with her athletes and how that direction was coming through, and, you know, all of those things, and how, you know, they probably would have had a better product from her had she been in a little better place emotionally at that point
True.
In time. So, and, you know, she was just very open about how negativity kind of took its toll on her, but that, you know, she was able to, because of her love for the sport, kind of bounce back, wade her way through that, and focus on the parts of it that, you know, she really loved and still make something positive out of it. So, and I almost hate to, like, point out the negative stuff sometimes, because I feel like, oh my gosh, everybody who's listening just feels like, oh, they're talking about something negative again. And everything is not negative, but as Kaylin said, when it's real talk, we cover everything. So I just don't want you guys to walk away thinking that, you know, well, if this sport is so terrible, why are you guys in it? Because we love it. It's not as terrible as we make it sound, but like with all things, it does have its moments, right? I mean, to be honest, I mean, Linda, I'm sure you would agree with that too.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, I just recently did a show a couple shows ago, and it sounded like the whole thing was, it was a bodybuilding show regarding just natural organizations and some issues that she saw, and she ended up posting a lot of YouTube videos regarding, and they got a lot of hits and a lot of positive and negative feedback, so I wanted to bring her on. And it almost felt like the entire show was negative, but at the end of the day, bringing issues that people have to light and talking about them doesn't have to be a negative thing. That's how we grow. That's how we learn from each other, by shooting out ideas and seeing what people come back with. So I think it's good when people come on any shows to be able to talk about, you know, Alex comes on and talks about the negative side of things and what has affected her. And, you know, I've had people come on my show and talk about, you know, eating disorders and the dark side of bodybuilding in that respect. And I think it's a good thing, because it's warns people to beware of certain things so they might be able to have a more positive experience themselves.
Yes.
Yes. Totally agree with that. That's a great point.
Well, I would, you know, over the holidays, one of my close friends' son, he's back from the military. He's a recruiter. And he spoke to it, and, you know, this will make sense if you just give me a second. When he was speaking, he was talking about how there were other recruiters that only spoke about all the good things and all this other stuff, and sometimes they would elaborate in a way that would make it a falsehood where there was no truth to it. And then when people saw the reality of it, you know, they got this horrible feeling. They hated what they were doing after that because of the betrayal. And they didn't want to, like Glenda was saying, they didn't want to support it or help it grow in any way because the first reaction to it was so bad. And I think if we show the full spectrum of what we're talking about, and I love the way JB calls it full spectrum athletics, is because if you do that, then you have a good idea of what you're getting into. Because, you know, I can't think of any sport that's perfect, but like there's a saying, it is worth doing if you see everything that happens as it really is and not this fake reality that people conjure up to get more people into it. You know, I just can't imagine that. And I'm glad that we can cover it like Belinda was saying, where you can cover all sides of it, where you get the actual idea of exactly what it takes to be a good competitor. And, you know, some people that are duped and tricked into being competitors, but not in an effectual way for health and fitness.
Couldn't agree more. And just to tag on a little bit more about the interview as a whole, some of the other areas that we talked about had to deal with the introduction of knowledge over the years from, you know, what she had to work with in the beginning of her career to where things had progressed to towards the end of it. And I mean career as a competitor, you know, such as when she first started competing, there was really no such thing as reverse dieting. You know, people stopped competing. They took time off. You know, you've seen the trend, ate everything they wanted, gained a lot of weight back, and then picked another show and started all over again. There really wasn't that concept of, you know, ratcheting things down gradually or back up gradually to make sure metabolism is firing all along the way. And also, like, counting macros and flexible dieting were all things that seem like commonplace now. But even just as few as, you know, five, six, 10 years ago, it really wasn't that way. And, you know, and Kaylin and Melinda, who have been competing much longer than I have, can probably speak to that better as to, you know, how those trends have changed when they first started to where they are now and just how much better it is now for athletes than what it used to be.
Yes. Melinda, the lady first.
I was going to say, I did my first show at the end of 2013. So I haven't been doing it that long, but and you guys will touch on this soon because the next shows coming up are Diet Doc related, but I worked with the diet coach from the Diet Doc from the first time I competed, so I don't think I ever faced any of those issues, thankfully. But I'm sure Kaylin has had a little more experience than I have.
And I come from the, like I said, when I came into natural bodybuilding, like I said, I was one of the ones ignorant that didn't know that it actually really exists. And to find it out, I had a chip on my shoulder because I was noticing all the enhanced individuals with these sponsorships, and I was really pissed about that because I said, you know, you got guys at the gym that have gym bags full of supplements, and they, you know, they weren't bodybuilding ready because they weren't competing, but I was thinking, why don't they have a face and a voice? So I went to a lot. They probably laughed at me like nobody's business, but I went to a lot of supplement companies, supplement stores, and I was asking, you know, what's the deal? Why won't you address the natural athlete like you address the enhanced individual? And the guy, he shut me up with one statement. He said, you show me a competitor that looks like he does on stage after the show is done or going up until it's time to start prepping. And it was the guy's honest truth because, like, back then on Facebook, you had people with their profile pictures looking nothing remotely like they did off season. And you would not recognize them. And that was one of the things that I was glad that Alex had touched on. What in the heck is that? Is that a bomb? Somebody getting raided? What's going on?
No.
No idea.
I don't even
I have no
anything.
Idea.
Okay. Back to the point. It was just the fact that we weren't holding up our end of the obligation of deserving sponsorships in a way, because the only the top elite were the ones being that way all year, and that's because they were actually ahead of the trend. And like Melinda was saying, a lot of them were with Diet Doc. So I'll leave that for the next one, and we'll go from there.
All right, awesome. So real quick, thanks to a listener, helped us out. The 2017 Chi-Town Showdown is May 13th.
There
so,
we go. Okay.
Put that on your calendar. Put that on your calendar. I already know there are some athletes out there. They kicked off their year with a prep with this
I
show in mind.
I
so.
Every day. It's shameful. It's shameful. Oh, my goodness.
So if you're looking for a good show, folks are going to be bringing the heat. So definitely put that one on your calendar. And Melinda is right. Our next show in the lineup is Diet Doc related. But before we, yes, I know, awesome show. But before we get that far, I just want to take a moment to recognize. It admits all of Kaylin's joy going on right now. Take a moment to recognize some of the other topics that we've covered this year that I thought were really good shows. They didn't necessarily make our countdown, but I thought that they were really good shows. We had a foodie edition. We had a couple of foodie editions. Yep. We had the Cobra on. We had WWE. Is it E?
We're done.
Is he part of the WWE, Kaylin? Wrestling?
Ooh,
anyway, professional
indie.
Wrestler
he's
on
indie.
There.
Yes.
There
he's
we
in,
go.
He's
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still the champ, too.
He is. He is. We had Just Incredible talking about the sport of roller derby. We had P4P family on with the Gilberts talking about their
adoption
story.
You've
got
to say how to get these names now. You can't talk about roller derby and not talk about the name.
So in roller derby, we're going to digress for a quick minute. In roller derby, all of the athletes, they pick a name and they have a number, and then that's how they're identified. And the names could be anything from, like I said, Just Incredible. Justin Kennard is the individual who we spoke with, and so his derby name is Just Incredible. His wife's name, derby name is Pocket Panda. Because she's 5'8", maybe 9'10", I'm not sure, little pint-sized Asian gal, and so her name is Pocket Panda. So you just kind of choose the names that, you know, kind of relate most to your personality. Some of them are very creative. Some of them are, we'll say, very suggestive. I'm not sure if Kaylin still has one in mind that he's thinking
of
right now.
Oh, no. I can't repeat that. I can't repeat that.
Okay. So he can't repeat it. It's a suggestive
one.
Go to the archives. But, for instance, my daughter, my oldest daughter, her derby name is Lil Rebel.
You would really segue like that?
I'm going to segue like that. So that's her name and number. So that's an example of how all of that works together. We're gonna leave Kaylin's example just like that in the archive because I'm sure we cover it there. roller derby, adoption, family, P4P family that went to Russia to adopt their daughter, and then lo and behold, their daughter's siblings got adopted out to other families in Wisconsin within like a 2-hour radius of each other.
Yes.
So that in and
that
of itself
beautiful.
Was a great story. Yep, miracle there. We've talked about addiction. We've talked about depression. We've talked about untimely deaths of athletes. I think we titled that show Athletes That Are Dying to Compete. And how that ties into anabolic use. We weren't very popular with some people on that one, but it is what it is. We talked about failed drug tests. We've pretty much covered the gamut of a lot of topics. When I look back over 2016, I mean, it was just very varied. We did cover a lot of promoters. We covered a lot of shows. We covered a lot of athletes. But even within those athletes, they all had different backstories that hit a different area. We talked about, you know, racial profiling in police stops was another area that we talked about. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of varied things, real life situations that impact real life athletes. And so we hope to be doing more of that in 2017. But I just wanted to throw out there that, you know, a lot of great shows in our archive didn't necessarily make the countdown, but they're still worth listening to. So be sure you check that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I feel like I've been talking a long time, so Kaylin or Melinda, go ahead and jump in.
Ladies
go
first.
Ahead and set it number three.
I'll let you do that. Go for it.
Okay. We have DKP. Huh? Is that not right? Same initials as mine.
Actually, we have the JK first, and then we get to the
but
DKP.
But you said number three. I did say number three.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what? You want me to go back one to Dr. Joe? I will.
Oh, you know what? You know what happened?
Here's the deal.
We had a tie
yes,
between Joe Perez and Alex Ellis. My bad. We had a tie for number five. Dr. Joe and Alex Ellis. There we go. Oh, sorry, guys. The numbers game right now, and it is crazy, but Kaylin is right.
Alexis from Texas. And Dr. Joe.
We're still on number four. We had a number tie for number four.
Yes,
so it
we
was
are.
Alex Ellis, and then we have Joe Klimczewski.
Dr. Joe.
Pronounce that
Dr.
one, Kaylin. I challenge you.
Somebody.
I challenge you to say his last name. Say it.
Oh, I got it. Klimczewski.
Klimczewski. But go ahead.
Okay, there
I'm
we
done
go.
Now. Okay,
there
we got
go.
It.
I take your challenge, woman. And I smash it. Now let me tell you this one. I gotta go with this because this is a guy. This is the guy that was basically the hope I needed to know natural bodybuilding would be successful. Because up until then, I was seeing people that I wouldn't recommend to a dog pound that we're talking about nutrition and competition because they had no clue what they were talking about. They were basically just raking in people's money because they basically starved them to get to stage. And that's what I was dealing with in my area. You know, it was honestly shameful. And that's the reason I had such a distaste for it and was so outspoken against it is because I was watching people that were 150, 160 pounds doing 50 carbs, and that was
shocked.
People were going in the audience and yelling and rooting for this emaciated individual that was stepping on stage, and I'm thinking, how could you cheer that? But no one knew like we know now, and it was so hurtful because, you know, these are the things, you know, coming from a sports background that never would make sense to someone with the understanding that this is just wrong, wrong, wrong. And they're taking group pictures with the people they basically starved to death. And I said, I can't imagine going to Africa and smiling with a bunch of starving Ethiopians. Where would be the logic in that? I'd be trying to get them some food. But that was what we had to work with during that time. So when I met Dr. Joe, oh, my goodness, everything coming out of his mouth was like scripture. I was like, oh, hallelujah, thank God, and let's do the hookabuck dance or something. because this is actual truth. It's not just bro science. It's not a bunch of gibberish. And it's not somebody looking to just rob these people blind and have them maybe get a trophy. Maybe. And I do say maybe because, you know, a lot of them didn't. So it was really nice to see someone of that magnitude doing what he was doing and speaking as openly and freely as he was. And I was just so happy that he'd even want to be on our show because the knowledge that he can put out in 10 minutes actually blows a lot of nutritionists and coaches, and I put those in air quotes, away by a mile. And, okay. Ron wants to know about his information. I do not have that because I'm steadily trying to answer you guys, respond to you guys' questions, so I don't have that link open. Dez, do you have that?
A link to Joe?
Dr. Joe, yeah.
Dr. Joe, you can check him out in general terms at his Diet Doc website, which is www.thedietdoc.com. And I know that you can access him through their question or their for more information portal there, because I know he personally still reads a lot of the messages that come through that website. Now, as far as connecting with him personally, look for him on Facebook. He is more than happy to take questions and, you know, connect with people and let them know or help them to understand or find answers to any questions that they might have. Now, his last name is spelled, if you're looking for him on Facebook, it's K-L-E-M. I know, because you could type Klimczewski, and I'm only pronounce it correctly once out of every five times, but you can pronounce Klimczewski, you can spell it a million different ways, I imagine. So it is spelled K-L-E-M-C-Z-E-W-S-K-I. So check him out on Diet Doc and message him. I mean, honestly, that's the fastest way you're going to connect with him. Or you can Google The Diet Doc, and you'll find him there. And they have an email address where people can get in touch, submit questions, find out more about their services. And they're really good at getting back to you there. So I would recommend those two spots to connect with Dr. Joe.
Yeah, very, very well said. And also I would like to point out that he's very open and very honest, and that means if you give him BS, he will respond to that to let you know that you can't fool him. I said, so if you're serious, and I do mean that in the best way, if you are very serious about competing, then message him. If it's just something you're doing because it's on the bucket list, don't waste his time, because this man is a professional, and I will express that. He and the Diet Doc franchise are very professional about what they do, and they want to see you succeed. But if you're doing everything to derail that success, then you'll basically get called out for it. And if you're not used to being called out, if you're used to, you know, hearing all this sugar-coated crap, then I would strongly recommend you can reconsider.
And Melinda, you have history in working with members of the Diet Doc crew, and I think you can back up, corroborate what Kaylin has been saying about them being a very professional organization, and, you know, knowing what they're talking about, using science to back up a lot of what they do or everything that they do, and not just, you know, the bro science that tends to float around out there in the industry.
Oh, yeah. So when I started competing, I was originally, I didn't even talk to someone else. I had a friend, and they were like, I have this diet. I competed in a couple shows. You know, here's this diet that her coach at the time had given her, no names mentioned. You know, this is the diet, but let's try to reach out for someone you're going to need posing classes. So I ended up reaching out to Michael Wilkie, who works with the Diet Doc, his wife, posing classes, just because I needed posing and I was going to do this diet that I got that was someone else's diet. And I met with his wife and we talked about posing, and she's like, you know, what are you doing for your diet? And I said, well, this. And she said, well, that's not custom for you. And I was like, oh, it's fine. It wasn't really custom for her. Her coach just gave it to her, but that's just what the coach uses for everybody. Huh? What? And it was awful. It was terrible looking back at it. It was literally a starvation diet that was very cookie cutter that was given to everyone that went to this specific person. And, you know, looking back, it was like, well, that would have been a terrible idea. But thankfully, someone caught me before I fell into that, you know, because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I hadn't done that. I've been in athletics, but I hadn't dieted for a show before. So I had no idea. So thankfully, she grabbed me and I met with Michael. And then in working with him and seeing the science behind things, and he had explanations for everything, you know. So if I ran into something that I didn't understand or why is my body doing this, it wasn't like there was like a scientific reason why that was happening. And there was no starvation. There was no question. And you know, clients' health always came as a first priority. So if I ever called them and I was like, I am legitimately starving. I can't even function right. I can't do this. There was no question, you know, carbs were up or fats were up or something. So my health was the first priority, not where I was going to put on stage.
Yes.
But they
clearly,
I mean, if you look at Diet Dog competitors, they have had a great run. I mean, they have put out phenomenal competitors across the board. So they're able to do that, yet still keep their clients' health in mind and have that be a priority. So I think they've done a great job. Things have done a great job.
And I just want to say what Melinda is saying. It's not a Diet Dog commercial, but she is very correct. And any nutrition coach that you're working with, yes, right, should be doing or following a similar protocol. And if you're not getting that kind of response or kind of guidance from your coach, you might want to question if that's, you know, the right coach to be with. And I know there are several other really good nutrition coaches out there. And in fact, our last show, we ran into a gal who, to a listener who was not having the greatest experience with her nutrition coach. And our advice was to stop, get out, you know, some other recommendations, do your homework. So just want to reiterate that message there without getting too far off track with what we're doing here. But just a few other quick points on what I really liked about this interview with Dr. Joe also is that, you know, one of the things he talked about is genetics and the role that that can play in your training experience, in your competitive experience, and that, you know, not everyone is naturally built to excel at bodybuilding, but you can use your weaknesses and turn those into strengths and still achieve the goals that you want to achieve. You might have to work a little bit harder. You might not be the natural that some people are, and it might take you a little bit longer, but you can still do it. It can still be done. So I thought that was a great point that he had brought out in this interview. And it's kind of, he was telling his own story, really, because someone even told him that, you know what, you're not really a natural bodybuilder. And he's like, nope, I wasn't. But he still had the drive and the work ethic to become the pro that he wanted to be. So just a good point to keep that in mind. And I think, yeah, that was it. And metabolism, which I think we touched on a little bit, another one of the strong points that he brought out in that interview. So definitely a good one to track back up. Plus, he's got an awesome sense of humor. Just a good guy to talk to. And
oh, my goodness.
So.
Oh, you got to meet him in person. It's like Disneyland for natural competitors, I'm telling you. This guy is just, bromance happening right now.
Now we know why Kaylin's been so giddy when we just brought up his name. So our number three, I've got the number scheme down right down now.
Thank you.
Our number three interview is also, yep, in the Diet Dog family. Another one of Kaylin's favorites. Side note. side note, love this gal to death. I thought that she and Kaylin would have made a fantastic couple. Didn't happen, but I was pushing for it behind the scenes. So I'm going to throw that out there. A little back end story of a little romance I was trying to create, and it didn't happen.
Oh,
but you know, when you know one really great person, and you find another really great person that's single, like, you want those people to be together, right? And that's what
heart.
I thought I had going on. I know between
heart.
The KP, the Kaylin Patterson, and then the DKP probes. And one quick thing, Kaylin. So one thing I was thinking about in 2016 is, you all know, you've heard us do our promotional message that we do at the beginning of every show. And then somewhere in the realm of P4P Real Talk, we started using this crazy phrase of, like, a Mack truck through ice cream. P4P is a goal for you, is a platform for you to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream. And I was like, that was not part of the original message. When did we start
oh,
using that? And I found the answer. Kaylin, you invented that, which is great because it stuck and it works. It was March 1st, 2016, was the first show that we used that phrase, and it was the show with Dr. Corey.
Yes.
There's a little Real Talk history for you right there. Happened here right now.
Oh, that's good times. Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, I'm very comfortable with the Diet Doc people because, like I said, they care. They have passion, they have discipline, and they always had structure and standards. And to me, that is business. A successful business carries these characteristics. But they were also human, and the people mattered. And I said, isn't that everything that we stress in our daily life? Every single day, aren't we talking about these same things? You know, if this was done, then people would respond better. If people actually cared, then people would actually put more into it. And they were doing these things before I'd even known them. So, you know, I think, and why aren't they more and better promoted to be more successful? It's because people were lying so poorly. I mean, they were doing so bad that they basically wanted to bury them in silence so they wouldn't get the truth out there, and these guys and gals that were calling themselves coaches and nutritionists wouldn't be exposed. And I said, well, we can change that really quick. And, I mean, I was screaming to the hills. And let me tell you, I can run up a hill. So you put me on a mountaintop, sister, I will get there, let me tell you. And that's what I was doing. I was yelling and screaming for these guys because they were actually putting out and promoting the truth. Not just, you know, they got a first, like Melinda was saying, not just a first place person, but a first place human being in life, not just on stage.
Very true. So, and if Dr. Joe was the voice of science in all of this, Dr. Corey is the voice of the psychology in all of this. And so that's the balance that you have between those two partners who work together to build the dynasty that is growing to be the Diet Doc. So when we were talking with Corey in the interview that landed her in the number three spot, we were talking about the psychological aspects of competing. And one of them was, if I can get this right, it was accessing your exponential potential, which basically means basically freeing your mind, accessing the possibilities, not limiting ourselves by the closed way that we think, by allowing ourselves to open up and get past societal norms and our own personal limitations to see beyond where we are now, to where we could be. So that was a big part of what we talked about. And then also understanding your why, your why of why you do anything, because sometimes it's easier to understand why someone else wants you to do something, i.e., you know what, you've got a great physique, you should compete, versus why do I personally want to compete? And do I even want to compete? Am I doing this just because somebody told me that I should?
Yes.
So that kind of thinking. And then how competitors can get away from or overcome the ugly slash let down feeling after the competition is over and they put on some weight, maybe more weight than they wanted to, or their bodies no longer look stage ready. So what do we do with all these feelings and emotions, and, you know, how do we process it? And basically her advice was, you know, it's more about, it's not so much about feeling what you feel, because you feel what you feel. You need to go ahead and do that. But it's more or less, how do you want to perceive the way that you're feeling? Do you want to believe it? Do you want to feed it? Especially if it's negative, do you want to feed that negative notion about yourself? Or do you want to notice it, say, yes, I understand this is the way I'm feeling, and then redirect your attention to something that is more positive or beneficial? So it's not a matter of feeling something, but how we are going to respond to those feelings.
Oh.
I know. So we talked about the head game, which, you know, it's a big deal. And I think, Melinda, I mean, you've done so many other sports other than just bodybuilding, and I would have to say that that's a pretty universal thing across any sport, that once the, you know, the lights are down and the cheering is over, you have to deal with the psychological aspect of competing, regardless of what the sport is.
Probably why I'm still competing in things. Like, I went from softball and track and all of that to running half marathons to Spartan races to bodybuilding to CrossFit to powerlifting. I just really like competing. I like always being involved in something. But I think the biggest psychological letdown for me when I'm not competing was bodybuilding. I didn't really feel that way with other sports. Because I guess it's because I always keep doing something. But bodybuilding was definitely the toughest as far as body image-wise.
Yes.
For sure. The other sports, it was just like, I like competing, so I just wanted to keep doing something, but it was definitely tough. And still is to see your body just look different and be different than when you were on stage. So as long as people know that, and I always say that, it's like bodybuilding, it's a lot of your personality. Like, I have a very type A personality, so that feeds into me having some body image issues when I'm competing or when I'm not competing. Some people, it won't affect them. Some people are totally fine with it. But as long as people know before they get into it that it's a possibility they may feel that way and what to do if they start feeling that way, that's the most important thing.
Yes, I think you summed that up perfectly. So a lot of good stuff in that interview about the psychology of competing and the sport in general, or just dealing with everyday life situations. So do check that one out. Moving on to number two, I was kind of surprised at this one. I really was. Not that it wasn't a great interview, and I love the gal who we were interviewing, but I was surprised that she was in the number two slot, and that is Sarah Stallman. And she is she's an amateur, an amateur bikini competitor. And she came in at number two. One of the very cool things about Sarah, though, is that she is a performer. She's a singer. She spends a lot of her time on cruise ships, entertaining that way. Recently moved to L.A. to pursue her singing career there. But one of the main things
that we highlighted during...
She is doing very well. One of the things that we highlighted during the interview was her competition experience over in Singapore when she was there performing as part of a show for the Singapore MGA, maybe? I know it wasn't Disney.
The organization is not it's not an easy affiliation to talk about because we really don't have a counterpart over here. So, you know, it's basically an overseas organization, and that was her first time, and that's why she was talking about it the way she was, because it was so different than what she was used to, you know, the standards that they have here, because there's a lot more, a lot less exposure they can do with their outfits and movements, I guess the best way to say it.
Yeah, and so there's that aspect of it, but she was saying how she experienced just a whole different, they have a different perception of body image there is what she was coining it as. She said it was less common to see women in the weight room. It wasn't, you know, a common practice for them to be strength training. It was more about cardio because the emphasis was on being slender and not so much being strong or building muscle, but gotta love Google. She got online and was trying to, you know, help herself transition to the culture and stick with the healthy lifestyle that she loved. And she found a local coach, and when she contacted them, it was more about just to get information about how to maneuver her way around grocery stores and stick to an eating plan and those sorts of things. And they convinced her to compete, and she did. And she did great. I mean, she didn't win in her class, but to be in a different country under a different set of rules, different set of training conditions, in an area where the foods that you normally would eat are hard to find. You know, she said it was very hard to find, you know, white chicken breast, but, you know, very easy to find cow tongue, which she wasn't going to eat. So... you know, just all of those things. And she looks phenomenal. She actually bumped up a class. She was in figure. Actually, they call it what they would call physique, we would call figure. But she bumped up from bikini and looked great, did great. So good show. It was very entertaining. Take a listen to it. And that brings us to, drumroll, Kaylin Patterson.
Number 1.
The number one most listened to Real Talk show of 2016, Kareem Pettaway, where we touched on the IFPA OCB split and the formation of the WPA. And boy, that was a popular show. People wanted to know, and they tuned in to Real Talk to find out.
And they did. and it was a lot of information that needed to be out, because there was a lot of open-ended questions and nobody was really looking for an answer. And this is one of those times where, you know, things could have gone a lot more negative because it was just so much doubt in the air and so much negativity at that time. And that was, I think, when Des and I had spoken about doing it, it was, okay, how do we take away some of the angst and some of the anger to where we can actually speak like human beings again to actually find out what's going on? Because I think there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of, you know, it seemed, I think Denzel Washington, when he was being interviewed, and he said, yeah, a lot of people are in such a rush to get the news out first, they're not worried about getting it out there correctly. And he was spot on with that assessment, because now it's about ratings and it's about, you know, all the wrong things other than facts and real information. So that's where we wanted to come from. And, you know, it was a tough show in a sense that we could only cover one side. And one of the things that Dad and I like to do is have the whole picture and not just have it be a one-sided conversation, but we couldn't speak to the other individual to make sure that was happening. That's a segue for us, because now we finally get that opportunity in an upcoming show. But it was basically how the IFPA and the OCBA, OCBA, my goodness, I'm turning to dead, as the OCB.
Oh, my.
Yes, yes, that's a frightening thing. Man pulling out this, but anyway, it was a lot of good information that came out from that, and it took away a lot of the fear and the doubt and the worry about, you know, the pro card status, where people could compete, the amateur side, the pro side, and, you know, just a lot of good information. I'll let Dad take it from that.
And, yeah, I really don't have too much more to add other than, you know what, shifts happen. It's not the first, it probably was the first shift we saw of 2016, but it wasn't the last.
And at the end of the day, there are still a lot of opportunities out there for athletes, and they just keep getting stronger. So, you know, just look for the most information as possible before making decisions on what it is that you want to do as a competitor and where you want to do it and who you want to do it with. But there's a lot of good things out there, and the folks are, the industry, the sport as a whole is still growing and going strong. So, hey, there you have it. And that, folks, was 2016 in a nutshell. All top 10 shows plus some mentions on some other great ones. I would have to say the overarching theme that seemed to be most popular with our listeners in 2016, a lot had to do with nutrition and metabolism and just good scientific information to back different strategies and approaches to training that are out there.
Mine are very similar. I'm releasing my top five. I'm not doing a recap show. At least I haven't thought about doing a recap show because my next couple months are already laid out with shows. And then it's going to be a little bit too late to do a recap at that point. But I'm going to release them on my Facebook page, the top five shows. And it's funny that a lot of mine follow the same suit as yours, even though we still cover some different topics. It's funny that, like, nutrition and bodybuilding and things like that seem to be more in my and I was actually surprised at some of the ones that ended up in my top five. So, it's interesting to see, you know, what people are interested in, what people are listening to. So the girl I listed today as number five, Kylie Thurber, I thought that was going to be one of my top shows that I did during the year. So, but you never know. I don't control
selections.
I just control what I put out there. So I'm glad anyone's listening. And I'm glad people are tuning in, so it's always a good thing.
Yeah, we feel the same. We feel the same. We feel the same. And speaking of listeners, our listeners should know that we are also looking to have Melinda join us again at a future date to talk about powerlifting. And that trend, because we've had so many of our guests that when they take a break from bodybuilding competition, they turn to powerlifting. We've seen that so many times. So we want to talk about just that trend and the sport and the ins and outs of it, pros and cons, and all of that good stuff that goes along with it. So hoping to have Melinda back with us again in the future to do that. But other than that, Melinda, thank you so much for wrapping up our top five with us to round out our top 10. It's been a lot of fun and always good to have your perspective and just be able to spend some more time with our P4P podcast family members.
Oh, you know, it's a tough. Thank you for having me on. I usually am a lot more talkative, but, you know, I felt like it's your show and I will weigh in when I'm needed because you guys had it all down pat tonight for your recap.
Don't leave us.
It'll be great. I'm excited to talk about powerlifting in the next couple months with you guys.
Okay.
It'll be a fun show.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Melinda, and have a great night. And we'll be watching for your next show.
All right. Thank you.
All right, KP, another year down, 2017 started. Very happy with the way that it's looking so far. So, you know, again, just very grateful for our listeners and all of our awesome guests that continue to provide us with great content.
Yes, and for the listeners, okay, just so you know, if you called in time, you did get to hear all of the live show, but the ones that were trying to call in late, you missed it. So if we went over in time, it'll say that the show is off air. So I do apologize for that. We did have a live show, just so you know. And I'm sorry that you were only able to call in when it was getting towards the end. So I apologize for that. Sam, Lynn, Mel, all you guys, look, we got you. We got you. But if the show's past the time that it's posted, then you won't be able to call in and listen. So I do apologize for that. That's the nature of the beast, and that's the guidelines that we live under. So, you know, thanks for trying to call in. Please go to the archive, and thanks so much. And I'll get it back to Dan.
Yep.
Yeah, we get an hour and it cuts us off after that's over. So we are sorry you called in at 8. Try us at 7 CST next time. Hopefully you can join us. If not, like Kaylin said, visit the archive and download it, and you're going to get all the same great information. And what's funny is Kaylin and I are still talking, knowing that no one can hear us right now except for each other. They won't even get this message until they actually download the archive and listen all the way to the end of the show. So,
exactly.
Hey, I don't know if that's a form of insanity or what that is, but we'll just keep rolling with it.
It just means that they matter.
Yes. It does. So if you make it to this part of the show, just know we tried, and you do matter to us, and we wanted to let you know what was going on. So with that being
okay,
said.
Okay, Sarah, Lynn.
Shout out.
Becky, Pamela, John, Sean, you guys too. I'm sorry, but, yeah, the show's over, and we're about to end it.
Kaylin, any shout outs for tonight?
I think there's something coming up in the future for Midwest Muscle,
which
video.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's right. I like how we're still talking about stuff that no one can hear. But yes, we are going to be, Midwest Muscle is going to be embarking on its first.
Embarking.
I love it. Yes, it's a word. It's a word. On our first cooking video.
We're embarking.
Not to be confused with barking, which we had earlier in the show. Which,
hey,
there you go.
It's a howl.
But
howl
we are embarking on our first.
The hound of Liggett. Let us enjoy
the hound
the
of Liggett. Okay, you can totally tell we're way off kilter now. We just need to end this show because it's not going to be pretty. But, yeah, we're embarking on our first cooking video, and it's going to be a short one, but it's going to be our first entree into this area, so be watching for it. It'll be coming out sometime in February, so just know, but we're going to be filming that soon. With that, I guess it's time for Snickerdoodle.
It is time for Snickerdoodle that creates Snickerfoodle.
Woo! And we're not even carb deprived right now. That's the sad part of it all. on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys of P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.